Oh, hey, sorry about that. Just me trying to figure this out. No volunteers. What a weird day. If it's your first time here, it's great to meet you. Although this is a little bit awkward, but my name is Rodney. If I've never had a chance to meet you, and I get to be the pastor here at this church that today has no volunteers. It's weird, isn't it? To show up at church and there's no volunteers. Sounds like something else the volunteers didn't show up to last night. But I digress. I'm glad that you are here today. And why are we doing this today? Is this just to give our volunteers a day off, although I'm sure some of them appreciated it? No, that's not at all. I and our team, we wanted you to experience what would it be like if there was a church like One Life with no volunteers, where only the paid people did the music, and only the paid people did the got the building ready, and only the paid people were available to help with a sermon. So there's no camera people, there's nobody to operate the stuff behind the scenes. It's just the paid people. There's nobody to make sure your kids are learning about Jesus on their level. It would be like this every single week. And I'm sure some of you that are used to One Life, and by the way, I hope it's not your first Sunday. If it's your first Sunday, come back next week and see what our faith family is really like. But I'm sure some of you are like, this is weird. I don't like this. No, you don't. I don't like it either. You know why? Because we are so used to an incredible family of people that come together and put aside their personal preferences and their sleep, and they serve you. And the interesting thing about volunteers at a church, at least at our church at One Life, is volunteers don't really serve an organization, not church volunteers. In fact, I was kind of challenged in my research and preparing for today that maybe volunteers is the wrong word. Because here's the reality is because we are like a family, volunteering for a church isn't really for the church. If when you think of church, you think of the organization, you think of the institution, the Monday through Saturday, Friday, business side of things, or just the organization that's trying to grow larger. Most of us, when we volunteer for something, that's what we think it's like. I'm just trying to help the school do better. I'm just trying to help the nonprofit organization accomplish some goal. Or in this case, I'm just trying to help the church to do something for other people. I'm just trying to help the church accomplish some mission or some objective. But here's the thing, we're a family, and it's like if you, in your family, moms out there, if you thought that when you cooked dinners and you cook, cleaned the clothes and you got kept the house clean, like you were just serving the house. You were just trying to make the house go better. No, of course not. You were doing that for the people in the house, right? Doing that for the kids or for your spouse, or if you've ever served some other group of people in some way, that maybe like a little league coach. I was a little league t-ball coach once upon a time, and in no way, shape, or form was I doing that to build the team into some World Series champion. That was not going to happen with my group of four-year-old pirates, as we recall, all right? No, I was doing that for the kids because they told me if I didn't coach, these kids wouldn't have a team. It wasn't to build a team or a program. I was doing it for the people. And you've had people in your life that have served you in that way. Sometimes you'll think of that teacher who made a huge, profound impact on your life, and chances are that teacher got in it for the people. That's why they were doing it. It wasn't about the organization. It wasn't about the school and making the school the best school that maybe some, right? But for everyone that says, I want to go to college and be a teacher and make not a lot of money, it wasn't so they could go and make some organization better. It was for the people. And what I want you to see today, and if you remember nothing else from this experience, it's this bottom line idea that if you have your app, because paid people do put the app together for you, so you do have the app, I want you to go to onelifeknox.com/Bible on your phone so that you can see the notes. There's no TV this morning for me to point to because there's no volunteers to run it. So I want you to go on your phone right now to onelifeknox.com/Bible. And here's the bottom line, or you can write this in the notes that you got as you came in. I guess you got as you came in. Again, no volunteers, so I don't know how the paid people figured that one out. But here's what I want you to write down in those notes. It's just like at your house and your family, just like at me and my T-ball team that I coached years ago. The church is like this. Serving the church isn't about serving an organization. That's the first thing I want you to take away. And I want you to see that from the scripture we're going to look at together this morning. Serving the church is not about serving an organization, but also it isn't an option, but it is an obligation. It's not an option, it's an obligation. And I want you to see that. First of all, you're experiencing it. If everyone at One Life Church volunteered like you do, what would it be like? Well, first I want you to know it takes an army of about 120 volunteers a week, sometimes more. And really, it would take more to do everything. But 120 people a week that do Sunday mornings, that come in on Monday mornings and pray for you and take your connection cards and make sure you're getting connected into micro churches and being prayed for and having your needs met. It takes that many people to be here on Wednesday nights at your campus, at each of our campuses with our students. It's micro church leaders that open their homes and make sure the people of our church are in small group relationships and growing in their faith. And that's a lot of people. But that also means there's more people that, quite frankly, aren't serving in some way. And if that's you, I want you to experience this morning as this is what it would be like if everyone treated volunteering or serving like you do. If it was just an option. If you decided, well, that's not for me because I don't know anybody or I don't have anything to offer, this would be the experience. Where would you worship in the way that you've grown accustomed to? Where would you invite people to experience Jesus? You see, serving the church is not about serving the organization. You have had people wake up early on Sunday mornings to serve you, not me, not the organization. And they have done that not because it's an option. If they have something else better to do, I won't show up that day. No, they've done it out of a joyful obligation that I love these people. I want to serve these people. And I'll do whatever it takes for them to experience Jesus. And we aren't the first ones. I want you to open your Bibles or go to that same app at onelifeknox.com/Bible and turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. We're just going to look at a few verses because we have babies and chaos and terrible video quality. So we're going to keep it short today. But we don't need to make it long for us to get the point. In 1 Peter, Peter is writing this letter to a group of new Christians, and they are being persecuted. They are going through just horrible situations on earth. And here's what he says to these new Christians. We're going to look at the first two verses and then verse 10, verse 11, and just see three points that back up this idea that serving the church is not about serving an organization, but it's also not an option. It's an obligation. Here's what he says to these new believers in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8 and 9. He says, above all, so listen, this is more than anything else, more important than just about anything else. He tells us to do this. Love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Now, some of us would hear that and say, okay, good. I can love people without having to join a volunteer team at the church. I can love people without, you know, committing to the church body. I can just show up on Sundays and I can love people. But then listen to what he says, and there's an interesting word, and like I always try to get you to remember, the English does a terrible job at really capturing what was really written here. But verse 9 says this, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Now we'll come to the grumbling part in a minute, so hang on to that. But the word hospitality here, that's one that's not translated very accurately. We might think hospitality and you think of, you know, just going out of your way for someone, or maybe at events there's the hospitality area and it's just where you stop to get your snacks and your drinks and that sort of thing. But here's what the Greek word was that would have been translated into our English Bible. And it's this Greek word philoxenia. Okay, now I don't want you to remember that. Okay, you're not Greek. But this word philoxenia, do you know what it really means? It means love for strangers. Isn't that interesting? So here's what he says. Offer love for strangers. Offer a going out of your way for strangers. Offer service to strangers without grumbling. So it is easy to offer hospitality to people we love. Like when my best friends come over to my house and I say, you have refrigerator rights. That's easy, right? It's easy to serve people that have served me. Like you take care of me, I'll take care of you. But what's strange and what makes Christians weird when they really follow Jesus is that what are we supposed to do if we love above all else? is we are to have a love for strangers, a service for strangers, and we are to do that without grumbling. Now, here's what that actually means. It means cheerfully and willingly. It means setting aside personal inconvenience or complaints about whatever effort is involved. Now, I'm not good at that, right? Like, I get so frustrated when something like unexpected requires something of me. And you know, you got to understand, like, pastors are people too, right? So when I'm at my house and I don't have to worry about, like, I should worry more with my family, right? But when I'm at home and I know they're going to love me no matter what, and my kids, you know, Charlotte will say, my youngest will say at maybe the most inopportune time, "Hey, Dad, will you make me a bowl of cereal? Hey, Dad, will you make me a macaroni cup?" And it's always when I've just laid down, finally got my shoes off, I'm finally like watching the game or whatever it might be. And that's the last thing I want to do is get back up. And what do? I grumble. Why? Because it inconvenienced me, right? I complain about the effort involved. I'm going to have to get up off the couch. I'm going to have to give up my rest, my relaxation, stand in a microwave for 3.5 minutes, mix in the powder cheese, and then clean up your mess when you're done. And like, I start thinking about all the effort that's involved to serve this person that I love with all my heart. Now, can you imagine if the neighbor kid came and knocked on the door, a stranger, I don't even know them, and I've just gotten comfortable, and I open the door and they say, hey, mister, do you live here? Yeah, I live here. Can I have a macaroni cup? I'd be like, get the heck out of here, right? But this scripture tells me I should do the opposite. It's a love for strangers. Now keep in mind, he's talking to the church. He's talking to Christ followers. And he's saying, hey, listen, I know you're persecuted. I know you're going through it right now. But here's what I want you to do. Love each other above all else and offer hospitality to strangers. Offer love to strangers. Offer service to strangers. But don't do it with grumbling. It's going to require effort of you. It's going to require you to be inconvenienced, but do it without grumbling. So the first point that I want you to see that backs up this idea that when I serve the church, I'm not serving an organization, but also that shows it's not just an option, but it is an obligation. First point goes back to the very first point of this whole series. This faith community, my faith community, your faith community, we call it the church. It's not about me. It's not about me, and it's not even about the people I already know or the people I love or the people that are easy to love. No, what this tells us is this faith community is about the people I don't even know yet, the strangers. This faith community is about the people that I kind of know, but you know, when I serve the people I love, I'm really serving me, because you serve me in return and it's easy to be around you. It's hard when it's not about me and I'm serving the strangers. That's why I love we call it first impressions team. We're not trying to give them a first impression to One Life. We want to give them a first impression to Jesus. Love these strangers without complaints or grumbling. I love our volunteers that show up and they don't care about the inconvenience. They could sleep in till 10, 11, 12 o'clock, but they're at this campus, they're at your campus at 10 minutes till 8 sometimes, or some our worship and production are there at like 7:15, 7:30. That's inconveniencing them, right? There's an effort involved. And you know what? When I show up, I never hear grumbling. I don't hear complaints from those folks. Walk through the lobbies of your campus, everybody's smiling, walk through the kids' areas. There's this anticipation happening on Monday mornings when our teams are here, our connections teams, we call it. There's laughter and there's fun. It's Wednesday nights, it's the same micro churches. I love seeing your pictures and videos. There's not grumbling from those that go out of their way to serve you. What if you did the same thing? What if we had a church full of people like that? Because you're experiencing today a church full of people that don't. Let's imagine a church full of people that say, my faith community is not about me. Now, here's what I know, is if this message were to stop right here, a lot of you would say, but I don't have anything to offer. What would I do? Like, I don't sing, I don't preach, I don't think I could teach kids. Like, what could I possibly have to offer? And verse 10 tells us something. We get to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, and it says this, each of you, so that's every single person here today, every single person following Jesus that has read this letter originally or for the 2,000 years since then, every single one of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. So three things I want to pull out of that before I tell you what I think the point is that we'll sum it all up is you have received a gift. You have received something that you can use to serve the body of Christ, to serve the church. What that tells me though is if you and I, and there's times I even wonder, like, surely there's more in for this in me, more in this for me than just talking on a microphone. There's got to be more for me. Well, you know what this tells me, this verse? Each of you should use whatever gift you have already received. It tells me that it is your responsibility, it is my responsibility to figure it out. It's my responsibility. I want you to make that personal right now. Even think to yourself, it is my responsibility to figure out what God has made me good at. It is my responsibility to figure out what He has gifted me. Why? To serve others. And that's not usually what we do with what we're good at. When we're good at something, we use it to make money. When we're good at something, we use it to win a game or win some competition. When we're good at something, we use it to get us ahead, or we want to get better at it, and we practice and practice, and that's fine. But what God has made you good at, he says right here in verse 10, it is so you will serve others. And then he says this, as faithful stewards of God's grace in all its various forms. So that tells us we're going to all have all kinds of different things we're good at, all kinds of different gifts that God has given us. And when we use it to serve others, we're being stewards of God's grace. That means managing something that's not mine. It's not mine. I'm simply stewarding it well. I'm managing it well. It's kind of the feeling that I have with my kids as a dad. Like, their lives are not my lives, but from the time they're born until they're adults, I'm stewarding my children. They're not mine, but I have to manage them, have to teach them, have to cultivate that gift that God has given me. Well, you have been given a spiritual gift. You've been given a talent, or many talents, or multiples. And your job and mine is to figure out what it is. It is to make sure that I'm using it to serve others, not myself, and to manage it as a way of showing God's grace in all of its different ways and forms. So the second thing that I want you to write down and fill out is I already have something to offer. This isn't something that I will one day have to offer. I already have something to offer as I serve, not the organization, but the people, out of this obligation that God has given me. See, right here, it tells you and me, we don't have a choice. Each one of you should use whatever gift you have received. So I would go so far as to say this, and some of you won't like this, but if you aren't serving the body of Christ, if you aren't serving the faith family, you are in sin. And I know some of you will say, but wait a second, I tithe, but wait a second, I'm busy, but wait a second, we all have excuses. But God's word says each one of you should use whatever gift you have received. And it doesn't say unless you're too busy. It doesn't say unless you're shy. It doesn't say unless you don't think you have anything to offer. It doesn't say unless you've been hurt before by the church. All of those things could be true, and we want to be sensitive to those things, and we're not being legalistic, but I just want you to obey what the Bible says, not me. And what the scripture teaches us here, that the very first churches were being taught, is each one of you should use the gift that you have been given to serve others. And then, just in case we think that it is for the sake of others, or just in case we think it's only to build an organization or to build the church, listen to verse 11. If anyone speaks, he's giving examples now of what the various gifts could possibly be. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. Now hang on to that very words of God. You're going to hear something similar in this next sentence. He says, and if anyone serves, which now should be all of us, because we're going to do what the last verse said, right? We're going to obey. We're not just going to be consumers. We're not going to be leeches that just suck the life out of something but don't give anything back in return. If any one of you serves, that's all of us, they should do so with the strength God provides, not your strength, not what the church provides you, but they should serve with the strength God provides. So a couple things before we even go on is what this is telling me is speak as if speaking out on behalf of God, the very words of God. If I serve, I'm doing it the strength of God. Well, then this is really not even about other people. So listen to what it goes on to say. So that in all things, no matter what it is that you do, God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, not the church, not you, not the pastor, but to him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. So we have words of God and strength of God, strengths of God, the strengths God provides. This is not about me. It's definitely not about the church. In fact, it may not even be about the people. Although the people that I serve, being strangers, I show them the love of strangers. I show them the hospitality as if they're strangers. But here's what this last verse tells me. The final point I want you to write down. When I serve others, I'm really serving God. I'm not serving the organization. And in some ways, I'm not even serving those people that walk through the doors and I don't know them. I'm not serving the people that I wrote the cards for and I may never see their faces. No, in reality, here's the last thing I want you to write down, is when I serve others, I'm really serving God. That's what I'm doing. When I welcome people into the lobby, when I teach kids about Jesus, when I write cards on Monday mornings, when I show up on Wednesday nights to volunteer with One Life students, when I open my home as a microchurch leader, when I do any of the various and many different things that are available to us through our faith community, I'm really not even serving others. I'm serving God. So here's what I want you to think about it. And we're going to wrap up. We're going to keep it short and sweet today. But here's what I want you to think about. Are you serving at all? Are you serving the church at all? Or are you one of the hundreds of people who simply reap the benefits of other people serving for you? Because if you are, you're missing out. This would fall in the category of the things that we say, we don't want something from you, we want something for you. And I mean that with all my heart. What I want for you is to experience the joyful obligation that comes from serving others. What I want you to experience is serving God as you serve other people. And then what I want you to experience is what it's like when you're part of something that's bigger than yourself. Because let me ask you a question. Who does it sound like when I say I want you to serve others, not yourself? I want you to serve with joyful obligation, regardless of the effort required or the inconvenience, so that you won't grumble or complain. Sounds a lot like Jesus, doesn't it? It sounds a lot like Jesus, who went to a cross for you and me without grumbling, without complaining. By serving us, he was serving his Father. But by going to a cross that he knew he would raise to life from again, offering you life and me life, he was fulfilling his purpose, serving his Father. And then there are implications of this. I've mentioned several times over the last few weeks that over 960 people have been involved at our church over the last 2 months. That's a lot of people. These are people, by the way, that are pretty involved. They're connected enough that we have their information, and we know they gave some tithes or offerings, or they came and volunteered at something. They attended a micro church. They checked their kids in to Kids City or to One Life Students. These aren't just the casual folks. And so that's 960 people. Can you imagine with me if 960 people said, we're going to live 1 Peter 4, 8 through 11 out? Every one of us is going to use whatever gifts God has given us to serve others. We're going to do it as if we're loving strangers without complaining, without grumbling about it. We're going to do it as if it's the very words of God that come out of our mouths. We're going to do it with the power that God provides, not that we conjure up or that we create. And we're going to do it so that he gets the glory. Not so the name of One Life Church or whatever church gets the credit, not so a pastor gets the credit, certainly so you don't get the credit. But now we're going to do this for him. So I'm going to give you just a few examples of some ways that you can do that. And I'll be honest, this is where this could very easily sound like an institutional manipulation for people just to serve the institution. And it's not. We are wanting to put you in tension so that you will see, you know what? It's time for me to be part of the 120, not part of the other numerous hundreds that don't get involved. And so I want you to know, just starting this evening, from 5 to 8 p.m. tonight, you know what's going to happen? At the new North Campus, we have 3 days to finish some painting and some cleaning and some prep work before the contractor puts the floors down. We have to be totally out of the building, and there's a push to the end to get that campus ready. Would you come tonight from 5 to 8 p.m.? At 7421, I forget the address all of a sudden, 7421 Ball Road. You just put that in your GPS and come at 5 o'clock tonight. Would you do that? Come at 5 o'clock tomorrow night, Tuesday night, or Wednesday night. We're gonna have teams there. Some of our micro churches are signing up. Would you just come and say, you know what? I'm gonna serve others by preparing this building where they're gonna come worship in a few weeks. I'm gonna serve others, and by doing so, I'm gonna serve God. And it's gonna inconvenience me, but I'm not gonna grumble or complain. Now, I bet you didn't know. Like, you're like, what gift do I have to offer? Can you hold a paintbrush? Can you clean a floor? Can you refinish some cabinets? That's one way that you can serve just this week. But now I want you to go beyond that. What if every single person that says One Life Church is their home embraced the obligation to serve each other? To serve a couple times a month. To say, you know what, I'm going to serve in some way, but you don't even know how to do that. Then I want you to mark your calendars for Sunday, November 16th. And we had to bump this back a week, so some of our leaders that expected this on the 9th, it's going to have to be the 16th because of construction timeline. But on November 16th at both of our campuses, we're not going to have a normal regular Sunday once again, okay? So that's going to be our last kind of curveball at you. Instead, we're going to do what we call a volunteer rally. And this is a chance for you to come, whether you've served before or you haven't. And you're going to come and you're going to experience all the things that you need to know. You're going to get to see all the different ways that you can serve. We're going to help you find the best team. You might show up that Sunday going, I don't know where I'm supposed to be. We're going to help you. We're going to teach you what you need to know so that then on November 23rd, we believe that'll be New North first Sunday. East Campus, we're going to use that as a relaunch for you as well to say, you know what? We're going to take the next 3 weeks, 4 weeks, and we're going to get our church fully engaged in serving each other. And on November 23rd, the week before Thanksgiving, let's go at it hard, knowing that Christmas is right around the corner. Isn't that weird to think about? But Christmas will be right around the corner, and the month of December is always a big month for us. We're going to have our Christmas Eve services and so many different things going on. And we want to be prepared to welcome those who are far from God. So Sunday, November 16th, you're gonna come to your campus, and it's not gonna be a normal Sunday, and we're gonna take from 9 to 12 that day, and we're gonna just prepare our volunteers for this new season of ministry. So here's the last thing I want you to think about, is maybe you're ready to put on that connection card today. It's time for me to take that step. I don't want this to be the Sunday experience every week. I want to be able to invite my friends and family into a place where they can experience Jesus with excellence, where their kids can learn about Jesus on their level, where people are high-fiving them and greeting them in the parking lots, where the stage is full of people who are gifted at worship leading, and there's sound like video people that are gifted at that are enabling us to gather and worship in this experience. And I want to be part of the solution. I don't want to be part of the problem. Would you just write that on your connection card? Maybe you'll use that as you'll check that box as your commitment to be there at your campus on Sunday, November 16th. Now, November 2nd, November 9th, we're going to bring our campuses together because North, you have one more Sunday and you're homeless. So next Sunday will be the last Sunday in the old Food City building for our North campus. We got to be out of there. Our lease is up. There's a new tenant moving in. And as construction goes, the new North campus isn't ready. So November 2nd, November 9th, we'll all be at the East campus at 10 a.m. We're going to pack the place out. And if you want to learn what roles you could play as a volunteer, these 2 weeks are perfect for you because we're going to have everybody together. So we're going to give you a chance to see the whole thing, and we're going to need some of you to step up because that's a lot of kids in one service. That's a lot of people to welcome in one service, but this gives us an opportunity to say, Lord, I'm going to actually do this. So as we wrap this up, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take a step. Everybody can do this. So show up at 7241 Ball Road tonight, 5 o'clock. Tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, 5 o'clock. Come help us out. Or everybody, mark on your connection card, volunteer. Or everybody, be there at your campus Sunday, November 16th, ready to learn how you can serve. Or maybe you're already on a team. Come ready to learn more about how you can prepare even further for what's ahead. And at the end of the day, I want to always remind you of this. You're not building an institution. This is almost like the money talk. If you think we just want something from you, then go to another church where you won't feel that way. But go there and serve. Go there and give your time. Go there and give your talents, because you are commanded, and I am commanded in Scripture, to above all else love each other. Use whatever gifts that you have to serve others, especially hospitality, the love of strangers, people you don't even know yet that are far from God. And I believe that's what we're going to see happen over the next few months. We're going to see so many people that are going to come and experience something they've never seen before. There's this army of people ready to love a stranger. That puts Jesus on display, who hung on a cross for people that weren't even born yet, hung on a cross for the very people who were crucifying him. That is the opportunity that we have. So I want you to pray right where you sit. Would you pray with me? Father, I pray for this season in our church, that we would go above and beyond. We would do so much more than just go through the motions. But instead, Lord, we would prepare to love like you love. We would prepare to be a place that welcomes the stranger, that shows them the love of Jesus, that stewards the grace of God well in how we do that, and that you would be pleased. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Would you all stand with us for one more song?